Andy, how's it going?
It's going well. I don't know how I'm sounding, but I'm not feeling amazing. We had like a longer trip than expected to Miami for some daily fantasy sports events. And yeah, definitely, I feel like I've said this before, but I'm too old to spend that much time like in Miami and pretending I'm not old. So,
Right.
So yeah, I'm it's like the multi-day hangover is starting to wear off now. And so hopefully my voice is not too jarring to people.
No, you sound good. You sound good. You look good. We don't record video, but yeah, you look good. Like, yeah, all good.
How are things on your end?
Good. Yeah. I mean, I think we'll talk about kind of our well-being in a bit, but I guess the other update from my end is just to give kind of an update on hiring. So kind of after the funding round, which we talked about the last time we talked, but I think it'll be two episodes ago as this goes out. You know, that was obviously like a really big thing to get that closed and everything. And that's all good. And then the focus really quickly went to like, okay, we need to put this money to work and hire people to move the business forward. One of those hires was always a front-end developer. I had quite a hard time hiring for that through like our normal process, which is like, you know, we work remotely and Dynamite Jobs and this and project test projects. And yeah, I just didn't feel like that process was working for me. And I don't know why. For a back-end developer, it's just more cut and dry, maybe, where a front-end developer is more like hiring a marketing or a salesperson where like everything looks good on the surface. You know, like there's fewer like obvious like red flags to me. And so long story short, it's made an offer. It was accepted. All along, we'd wanted to hire a female developer, which we did. She's based in Chile and is starting on August 1st. And I'm super excited. I mean, she's an amazing developer. I can just tell. And the cool thing about this is, and I think this is like the lesson for folks who are wanting to like break into a new scene, is like this will be her first job in tech. And she's like a self-taught developer, but has a significant and very good kind of open source portfolio. And like, we didn't even send her a test project or anything, because Francois, our designer, just looked at her GitHub and was like, she's awesome. Like, she's self-taught and she's only been doing this a few years on the side, works like for a tech, like an IT kind of tech company. And so has a technical background, but hasn't been a professional developer before, but like has mad skills. And so like, that was really cool for me to say, like, we're hiring someone just on like what they show the world. And that's like the thing you hear all the time, you know, it's like, just put your work out there and the world will come back to you. And it's cool, because that's what she did. She's, you know, really active on Twitter and kind of shows her work there and everything. And so I'm really excited that we found her and that she's excited about joining the company. Yeah. And excited about kind of bringing some balance to the development team too.
Well, when you're hiring someone who hasn't done that specific role in another company before, I feel like on part of it, they're coming in as a blank slate. So they're not going to have, well, this is how we did things there, this is how we did things here. But you do have to have a bit more process, I feel like, some guardrails for them. So how have you been thinking about that?
Yeah, I mean, so the nice thing about this situation is she will be working really closely with Francois, our designer, who has been our front-end developer for like big front-end projects. And so it's just going to be kind of peeling off, you know, 20% of his time maybe for the first, say, month to say, okay, Francois and Marie, y'all work on this thing and getting it, you know, set up and how she works and how she writes code and things like that. But yeah, I mean, his impression of that was like, yes, she's junior, but she's really on track so far with like how he works and how he likes to think about design and patterns and things like that, to where he didn't feel like that would be a big lift.
Okay.
I think almost especially on the front end, maybe not, maybe it applies to the back end too, but like that kind of moldability, you know, of a new person and for us to be able to say, look, this is how we're going to do it. And this is how we think about design and stuff is really helpful, actually, as opposed to someone who comes in with that kind of conflicting design ideas to our designer. I can just imagine that would be, and it has to exist on the back end. Actually, I know it exists on the back end. Like, we have a back end developer who is like Docker everything, and then others that are like, you know, more old school, like, you know, whatever, conventional server stuff. And so like, yeah, those different experiences and kind of thought patterns definitely exist. And I don't know the best way to balance those, but
no, I think that'll be a theme or just something we dig into in future weeks more. So when we're just talking about technical leadership and what it's been like when there's been times where we don't have strong leaders in specific disciplines within like the stack and the difficulties there, because I think that's where you can run into a lot of challenges. So I'm sure you and I will be dig into that a bit more in the near future. But I know you've also had a couple other offers out, right?
Yeah, we made an offer last Friday and another one this morning for our two account executives. And with that, I feel like we ran a really good process. That process, much more similar to like what we would run for a marketing person or a support person, had me involved, had Matt and Sam from our team do the final round interviews. We all got together, submitted our feedback anonymously, I guess, like via a Google form, so that everybody kind of submitted their stuff. I had all the, you know, kind of results, and then we ran through them on a call, and it was pretty unanimous. So we made two offers, and like good salespeople, we're negotiating with the candidates now. And yeah, very hopeful that they both work out. They both have a ton of really relevant experience. They're both pretty young, I think. And yeah, so kind of just wait and see how that goes. And so we're still kind of a month out from them getting started, but it's been a cool experience to, from like a sales process and planning perspective, to like codify plan and commission and total comp and things like all of these we were talking about the last episode, I think, like all of these have to fit together. And at this point, we're, you know, I think we're pretty dialed in with what the goal is, at least. You know, I'm sure it'll change, but today I feel pretty good about like the goal and the expectations we have. That's been really clear with them through the process. So yeah, just kind of waiting to hopefully get those two folks on board, and then we'll be done with that for a while, probably.
What do you see their ramp up period looking like?
I think it depends on like the product that you're talking about. Like selling Castos production stuff is much easier than selling like the corporate private podcasting stuff. So like the Castos production stuff, like I expect them to come in and really start pushing things forward there in the first month.
And they're each doing both, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. If things go as planned, both of these reps will have like kind of enterprise software experience. That's good because that's where we want to go. And they can sell the production stuff too, just because it's a really straightforward value prop. So yeah, they'll both sell both.
We mentioned before about just the challenges of filling up the marketing funnel and all of that. And we don't need to make that entire topic for today, but I did want to just kind of circle back because I feel like it is relevant. Like, where are you at on thoughts or concerns around there? Everyone wants more leads coming in, but I feel like, yeah, there's definitely a different pressure when you have people coming in whose job is to sell those leads.
Yep. Yep. And by the way, I got some really nice feedback on our kind of funding announcement episode, and very nice compliment to you of asking really kind of good questions and like logical follow-up questions from our episode. So like kudos there.
That's but nice.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think where we are is, you know, there's like the traction book of like the whatever 13 marketing approaches you can take. And we're not like going through the book and doing that, but we're looking at a lot of options. We're looking at content and like different kinds of content, sales enablement kind of content. We're looking at paid search. We're looking at a display. We're looking at outbound, and we're looking at like channel and partnerships. And when I say we're looking, we are actively ramping up all of those campaigns right now, because when you get the funding, or this is how I feel at least, is like you kind of owe it to yourself and your investors to try a bunch of stuff. That's why you have this money. And if we try all of them, you know, kind of now, then we'll find the answer much quicker than I think, you know, the truly bootstrap mindset would be like, okay, I have $2,000 marketing budget this month. I'm going to try paid search and I'm going to hire this outsource SDR agency. We're just going to do all of it. You know, we're going to do the outbound stuff. We're working with the agency on paid search and potentially like LinkedIn. We're looking at doing some really different kind of content just for like industry awareness, but also for the reps to use as like sales collateral. Yeah. So all of that stuff is happening right now, which is cool because we have, you know, say a month until these folks start. Maybe some of it takes another month to get ramped up. But so your question of like, how long do we plan on ramp up taking, you know, I think I would be a fool if I said less than 3 months, but that's the target, which really is like the end of the year, unfortunately, if they're starting the middle of August.
And so for these new growth initiatives, these new just like tests, really, this is something that Sam's running with?
Yeah, I mean, Sam would be coordinating all of these, and we'll be working with people who specialize in this in each of those areas.
It was Len Markadin, who I worked with at Groove and who is now the CMO at Podia. Remember when he started at Podia, it was 3 or 4 people. It was like a very, very small team. And it was interesting where I was just like kind of asking like what's your plan from here? Is it going to like, who are you hiring first with this? And he took an approach. It sounds like similar to what Sam's doing here, is just working with specialists, working with other consultants, whether it's an agency, whatever it may be, to just test different things out, to get people in there. It's just really hard to bring on someone to do something that you haven't done before, even if they've done it like a handful of times. But like, I just feel like, and it's probably too early to, you're not going to W2 hire someone as a full-time PPC specialist when you don't even know what's in that channel for you. So I feel like working with contractors, working with agencies in this test phase is super valuable, even if I sometimes kind of forget about that option. But so when you're working with them, how long of a test do you view this being? Like when do you kind of make the decision on pulling the cord, on increasing the budget? And I know there's not like a specific answer. I'm just curious how you're thinking about it.
I have in my mind like what good would be, you know, like good/realistic. But I think it's, for me, Sam and I are trying to box from a cost and a time perspective all of these. So, okay, paid search, $15,000 in 3 months. And if it works, that's great. If it doesn't, then that's fine. If you look at the sales cycle of some of these, like we might not have a deal closed in 3 months, but if we get a really good lead that we think has really good potential, then that, you know, that's a win for me. Because by that point, you know, like you have different kind of success rates at each kind of stage in the sales process. And like getting someone to say, yep, I want to do this. We have budget. InfoSec isn't going to be totally off their rocker. You know, like we can pretty much get it done by then. And so if we get a couple folks to that point on any of these channels, then it'll be a win. But yeah, trying to box it from a time and a time cost and a our involvement perspective, because some of them like need creative input from us. And I think that's the hardest part, is like, if we have to write the emails, you know, or if we have to work with the person to create this content really deeply, then that's not like the most ideal.
Yeah.
They need to understand us and our product and our value prop and the customer and what they're going through and all that. But I don't want us to have to spend a whole ton of time.
Yeah. And I think if there are any like freelancers or consultants listening, that is just, this is a tangent, but it's just, that is one of the most difficult things about working with someone is just the amount of time it is required of you. And sometimes it's unavoidable. Way back in the day when I was more involved in kind of the agency and freelancer world, the most common request, the most common like complaint that freelancers and agencies would have in like web development would just be, oh, it takes the clients months to get us the copy. And this will then refer them to a copywriter if you can't do it themselves. And it's just like, the easier it is to work with someone, the more likely that you'll stick around. And like there are a lot of projects where I just would start them and I couldn't get through it because it was like, I need someone who can really run with things. And I'm happy to jump on calls like as needed within reason, but I can't really be producing the work. And I know on the PPC side, I haven't worked with them, but like Client Boost, started by Jonathan Dane, and their big thing is they do like PPC for SaaS, and they do like full stack. It's like they will design the ads and the landing pages. Because that's the thing, is even just looking on Upwork or anywhere else, it's that you usually have people that specialize in just like managing the spend, and then you have to come up with the creative, and it's just like, that's so challenging to do. And so you guys have been focused on those more done for you completely when possible, or have you been able to find that?
Yeah, we want to get as close to that as we can. I think,
but you also don't want to like be completely hands off and just.
Yeah. That's the thing is, I think that it's a balance. And we saw this working with Retriever, the SDR agency. It is like, I can explain kind of in an hour what I kind of have to share, but then there's all this nuance in my head that just can't come out in even like an hour long session. And so I think that kind of ongoing refinement and iteration as you go is important. And like with Retriever before, and with like a paid search agency we worked with, that there was like weekly calls. And I think that's the goal of those. Okay, here's where we are. This is how it's going. This is what's not working. Why do we think that is? And they're really just asking us like, hey, what are you not telling me? Not that like we're purposely withholding, but like there is a nugget somewhere that will unlock this. And the cool thing is I have a bit of experience in each of these kind of media. Sam also has experience with like outbound and paid search and those kind of things. Matt from our team, more so on the content side of things. So he's kind of running that. I feel like it's pretty doable. It sounds like a lot. Like when I say we're ramping up, you know, three new marketing initiatives, but like none of them are the first time this has ever been done, right? And our competitors are all doing these. And so, you know, we just have to kind of find our place.
It does sound like a lot. And I feel like it is a lot, but it seems like you obviously have good people in place to help really own those things. And you're working with people who make it easier for you. But yeah, when I think about it, it's the times where I feel most stretch the thinnest is around hiring, when we're ramping people up and trying to balance a big project. And you're ramping up a lot of people and managing, well, not personally managing all of them, but handling a lot of projects. So how are you staying sane throughout all of this?
Yeah, not very well some days. No, I mean, we honestly, and I know like you have a lot going on and like some big projects you're just wrapping up. So I know you can relate, but like we pretty much are done with the migration of the Podient customers at this point. And that was really stressful because like, honestly, in like an objective view, it went really well. There are some things that definitely didn't go like we wanted them to. And that was super stressful because then you have customers coming and saying, hey, Craig, you told us this would be, you know, perfect. And of course, nothing's ever perfect. And so like, that was hard. And that was kind of 2 weeks ago that was like in the thick of things. And then like the funding and the hiring and looking forward to onboarding a sales team and all this kind of stuff. Like what I basically did is just said, like, I'm going to cut my sales call availability back by like 50%, probably through the summer. And that sounds like a very like European thing, but like we're recording this on July 14th, right? And so the summer is only 6 more weeks. And I basically am going to have 2 days I take sales calls. And the rest of the days I need to be around for my family and myself and stuff. And I have a unique circumstance in that like I live in France, and so we're 6 hours ahead of the East Coast and 9 hours ahead of the West Coast, to where like a couple of weeks ago I was working until 9 o'clock every night. And that's not feasible. And so like the way I justify it to myself, and I think it's appropriate, is like, if I'm like a really important person for this company to be successful, I need to be able to be here for a long time. And I need to show up every day ready to rock. And if me taking 3 or 4 less sales calls a week is the price that the company has to pay to do that, that should be okay. You know, like the company shouldn't fall apart because I can't take a call to sell someone a $300 a month Kestos Productions service. So that's the compromise I've kind of taken. And it's also temporary, right? When these sales folks ramp back up, I will hopefully kind of have recharged my batteries, and I and Matt and Sam will be 100% on being on as many sales calls as we can to get them up to speed with their scripting and messaging and stuff like that. Because then I'll do zero of it. The first 2 sales calls, maybe, you know, if somebody really gets close to crossing the line, maybe I'll hop on a call and help, you know, close somebody. But I don't expect to be on many sales calls after that. So it is kind of a temporary thing with me not being available for as many calls in the evenings, especially just for the next few weeks. I feel like it's not terrible.
What are the things that you do to recharge? Like, is it really just getting away from the computer, or is there other specific things that you seek out to get some juice back in the batteries?
I really love traveling. It's so cliche. Like, I really love just getting out of, like, even if it's an hour away, there's this really beautiful lake where there's no, like, motorized vehicles or anything. So just go and we kayak and paddleboard there. And, like, sometimes we stay for the weekend. Like, that's just amazing. Yeah. Where we live and where you live in the summer is just amazing. Like, really magical. We're not really traveling. And so, yeah, I'm trying to just, like, get to the lake to paddleboard in the evenings, like, as much as I can, because it's just so cool. Yeah. How about you?
Something I need to get better at. I like being by the water. I don't. If my wife, I'm just not happy with it. But, like, I don't get hiking. Like, I just don't really understand it. Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't just, like, kind of, like, walk around and looking at things. But I know there's more to it than that, but it's kind of lost on me. But the water is something where just being around the water is nice. Golf is good for me as well, because it's challenging. And so, like, I'm focused on a few things and I'm not thinking about just, like, everything else. It can kind of just clear my head a little bit more. But yeah, I think I just frankly need to do a better job of figuring out what are those things that help, and then making sure I block off time for it. Because a lot of times, especially in the summer up here, it's like your calendar just fills up with things that are fun, but it'll be like weddings and all this and that. It's not like me deliberately picking something to do to recharge, even if it is still time off. And so I think, yeah, it's finding that balance of figuring out something like, all right, well, because a lot of from those trips, it's like from this last one, it was a great time. It frankly was too long. We got there Wednesday and got back like late Monday night. And it definitely was not like a recharge trip at all. I mean, it was enjoyable. We had basically almost all the partners out there. And so it was really good for the team building side of it, but it wasn't like a recharge for me. It wasn't like a something like that. And so when I come back, I'm just like frazzled, and I'm like, I got to get caught up on all these things, and I don't have the energy to. So I got to kind of be more deliberate about planning these things out. And then also just finding the time where it's actually just getting away more, so that when I come back, I am energized. And I think a lot of it too is just better gym habit, that kind of thing, because it's just easy when my calendar's filling up with different calls and different this and that, like, just like, oh, like, I can't go to the gym today, but I feel it. So I think, yeah, it's something I got to work on, but it is just obviously important. And it's something I stress to the team as well, but don't do the best job taking the advice myself.
I think the last part is really important, is we've seen this recently with time off, that me taking time off is important for the team to see. And me just saying, like, this week, my son and I are hanging out here by ourselves. My wife and daughter are taking a girls trip. And so I just told the team, like, look, I'm going to be working from like 6 to 10 in the morning, and then like 4 to 6 or 7 in the afternoon. And that's it. Right. And like, I will get my shit done, because I've done this a lot. Right. But like, there's no calls. And you can do this too, right? You don't have to be at your computer from 9 to 5 every day. If you have things going on, as long as you get your work done and like, or find someone to help you kind of cover your stuff, you don't need to be in your butt in your chair from 9 to 5 every day. That's just not the kind of company that we work in, and not the kind of world I want to live in. And so, like, but long story, I think us doing that and showing the team that we're doing that is important for them to feel like they can do it too.
Yeah. And I still feel guilty about the time off when I do take it, but yes, trying to get over that a bit more.
Yeah, a little bit of that is healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
Yeah.
True. Well,
as an aside, I don't know if we talked about this. We went from unlimited vacation policy to a fixed number of days off. What ended up, I think, happening is, when you have an unlimited vacation policy, what you're doing is putting the responsibility on the employee to be responsible with their time off. And so they always think they should take less time off than they can, really. And so what we did is we said, you have 20, everyone has 20 working days off a year, 4 weeks, right? Take, you know, all that you want up to that. If you need more because you're getting married and you need to go on a month-long honeymoon and you need some more, whatever, just let me know. But everyone can take 20 days off a year. And I think there's very few people who will take 20 days off a year, you know, but we already are seeing more people taking time off since we made the change, because I think with a responsible time off policy or unlimited time off policy, you just say like, okay, you can take as much time as long as you get your stuff done. And so people hear that and say,
there's always stuff to do.
There's always stuff to do. I just can't ever take time off. So I don't know. That's just us. We only made the change about a month ago, but I think it's positive so far.
Interesting. Well, that, yeah, there might be something to unpack in a future episode.
Yep. Yep.
Awesome.
Cool, man. Well, it's good to catch up.
As always, and thanks everyone for tuning in. If anyone has any feedback or questions or anything else at all, don't hesitate to reach out at podcast@seekingscale.com, something like that, right, Craig?
You got it right. I can't believe it. Yeah. Ooh, yeah, it's great.
Nice.
No, we really do enjoy the feedback, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. So for everyone who has reached out, thanks so much.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for listening as well. See ya.